Thank you for being with me today. This is Dr. Ruth. Jesus is Lord. Awesome. I trust God you are doing great. So I want to just say this again. If you have not yet subscribed to this podcast teaching, please do so by simply clicking that follow button. Wherever you're listening to me, if it's on Podbean, just click follow. That button is on the top right. If you are listening on Spotify or iHeartRadio or wherever you're listening, just click the follow button. This way you will receive alerts when we upload new Bible teaching chapters so you stay current. And I want to thank all of you who have donated into this ministry to help us produce these Bible teachings so we can reach out to many, many more people. And if you haven't yet donated into this ministry, I trust God that He is speaking to your heart and you are prayerfully considering to bless us back with a financial donation so we can produce more teachings. Although you are getting this podcast for free, it costs a lot of money to pay studio time to produce these teachings. So whatever donations you make into this ministry will go right back into this podcast Bible teaching ministry so we can produce more teachings to bless many, many other people. Wouldn't you like to see others being blessed as you are being blessed? I'm sure you want that as well. So please, we thank you in advance for your donation. It is really simple to donate into this ministry. Visit our website, drruthtanyi.org/donate, and place your donation right there. And if you live in the USA, you can donate through Zelle. And that telephone number is 909-501-9031. Again, 909-501-9031. That is through Zelle. We also receive donations through Cash App. And the name using Cash App is the $ Dr. Ruth Tanyi. And friend, we thank you in advance for donating into this ministry. And also visit our bookstore and get some of my Bible teaching books and CDs that also come to us as a donation. So thank you in advance for blessing us back as we bless you. So I trust God your hearts are open and you are ready to receive the teaching. And I pray for God to speak to you individually. And I pray for His blessing to chase you today. In Jesus' name, here is the teaching.
We welcome you to today's teaching. Today, Dr. Ruth explains the significance of the tabernacle.
Okay, we pick it up here with Exodus chapter 25. If you recall, when we ended chapter 24, we had talked about how Moses had this encounter with the Lord at Mount Sinai. So we see Moses going up the mountain to meet with the Lord. And at the end of chapter 24, Moses is in the cloud with the Lord, and we talked about how God appeared as a theophany. Remember that? I hope you recall. So now we pick it up with chapter 25, where Moses is in the presence of the Lord, and Moses will stay in the presence of the Lord for about 40 days. During this encounter, God will give Moses specific instructions on how to build the tabernacle, which is like a dwelling place that he will dwell among the Israelites. All right, so chapters 25 all the way to chapter 31, God will give these instructions to Moses. So some of you may be wondering, well, Jesus has come. Why do we even need to bother about these instructions? Well, it's true. These instructions are very detailed, oriented, complicated, specific. So we will not take the time to go over each detailed instructions that God gave Moses. What I want to do in these next few chapters is just to highlight a few things from each chapter, and I am trusting that you will go back and study this at your convenience. And as I skip over a lot of these verses with details, we will just highlight a few things about the nature of God that will help us to better relate to God, because the nature of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So right away, before I even begin, let's just go over a couple of things to keep in mind regarding these upcoming chapters. The detailed construction instructions that God gave to Moses just goes to show you that we serve a God who is very detailed oriented. Okay, obviously we see that even in his creation of the earth, very specific, detailed, oriented God. And as we will also learn, the quality of the material used to put together this tabernacle was the finest. I mean, again, just telling you how God is after quality. Okay? And then we will learn about the holy nature of God in the instruction he will give Moses, such as having the curtain surrounding the particular area, which is called the Holy of Holies, that only the high priest would have to go in there to offer sacrifice for himself and for the community of the Israelites, all pointing to the holy quality or holy character of God. And also, most importantly, what we can learn from these chapters about building the tabernacle is the notion that God really desires to dwell among his people. And obviously, God is indwelling us today as New Testament believers in the form of his Holy Spirit. But we see God dwelling in the tabernacle among the Israelites. Okay, so keep those things in mind as we proceed. Okay, let's look at chapter 25 here. Let's look at the first couple of verses. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. You are to receive the offering for me from everyone whose heart prompts them to give. These are the offering you are to receive from them." And then God went on to explain to Moses specific instructions how to collect the offering. And these offerings will be the material that the Lord will use to instruct Moses to build this tabernacle. But a couple of things we can learn right away. Let's go back here. It says, "You are to receive the offering for me from everyone whose heart prompts them to give." Again, a principle here about giving, which is consistent with the New Testament teaching out of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, that each one should give to the Lord according to how they have purposed in their hearts, because God loves a cheerful giver. So we see that same principle here. God wants us to give towards his work out of a loving heart for God, out of a loving heart to foster God's work on the earth, not out of obligation. So we see that happening here. And then let's skip to verse 8. "Then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Make this tabernacle and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern I will show you." Again, just highlighting the fact that God desires to dwell among his people. And we see God explaining that here. So let's look at the first component, if you will, of this tabernacle, the ark. Let's look at that. A few verses here. God told Moses, "Have them make an ark of acacia wood." Apparently, acacia is a high quality wood that it is used for building, and it is still used today in the construction industry, believe it or not. So again, God chose the highest quality of wood to be used in this tabernacle. And he went on to give Moses specific dimensions of the ark. You can read all of that on your own. Let's come to verse 15. The poles are to remain in the rings of this ark. They are not to be removed. Then put in the ark the tablets of the covenant law, which I will give you. Again, God is going to give Moses directly the tablets containing the covenant, the law, which the Israelites are to adhere to. And he is telling Moses that you will take the tablets and put it in the ark. Let's look at verse 17. Make an atonement cover of pure gold, 2.5 cubits long and 1.5 cubits wide, and make 2 cherubim out of hammered gold at the ends of the cover. Just let's pause there for a minute. This atonement cover, some people call it the mercy seat. This is where, again, we are being introduced here to the concept or the principle of atonement, which is a major biblical doctrine of Christianity, that sins have to be atoned for by the blood of somebody. In the Old Testament, we will learn how God used the blood of animals to atone for the sins of the people. All of that was a foreshadow of what Jesus Christ would later do for us in the new covenant, where his blood atoned for the sins of the entire world, and whoever desire a relationship with God must come through Jesus Christ. So we see this teaching or this doctrine of atonement being introduced here at this mercy seat, where the sins of the Israelites will be atoned for by animal sacrifice. Okay, again, God's progressive revelation of atonement being revealed here. And the cherubim represented two angels, okay, which were always present in the tabernacle to provide help to the Israelites and to remind them of the presence of God in their midst. All right. Verse 20, the cherubims are to have their wings spread upward, overshadow the cover with them. The cherubim are to face each other, looking towards the cover. Okay, you can read the rest of the instructions there. And then when we come down to verse 22, there above the cover between the two cherubim that are over the ark of the covenant law, I will meet with you and give you all my commands for the Israelites. Okay, so we see that in the Holy of Holies is where God will meet with the high priest who will atone for the sins of the people. And again, we have the angels representing the presence of God there. But again, as New Testament believers, we do not have a Holy of Holies, because when Jesus died on that cross, this whole concept was Jesus torn the veil from top to bottom, so we can directly access God in his throne through Jesus because of the sacrifice he did for us. Isn't that awesome? Okay, so let's move on to the rest of the description of this tabernacle. We come to the table, description of the table, beginning here in verse 23. Again, the table is made of acacia wood with 2 cubits long and 1 cubit wide and 1.5 cubits high. You can read here how the overlay is made with pure gold, again, highlighting God's taste for quality here. We come down to verse 27. The rings, referring to the table now, the rings are to be close to the rim to hold the poles used in carrying the table. Make the poles of acacia wood, overlay them with gold, and carry the table with them. Again, now we are beginning to learn that this tabernacle is something that the Israelites will be able to carry. So it has to be very sturdy or strong in the ground. So we see God giving those instructions there. Come to verse 30. God tells Moses that put the bread of the presence on this table to be before me at all times. Again, the bread here represents Jesus Christ himself, who is the bread of life. Okay, Jesus tells us that out of the gospel, John chapter 6, that he is the bread of life. Whoever comes to him will not go hungry, referring to eternal security. Of course, God will also feed you. And now remember how the Israelites, God had provided a manna to them. So now we see God telling Moses to put that bread of the presence on the table, again, reminding or teaching us about the coming of the Messiah, or the bread foreshadowing Jesus Christ, who will become our eternal bread. So let's come down to the rest of the verses in this chapter, which describe the lampstand of the tabernacle, beginning here in verse 31, all the way till the end of chapter 25. Make a lampstand of pure gold, hammer out its base and shaft, and make its flower-like cups, buds, and blossoms of one piece with them. You can read the rest of that, the specific details. But I want for you to come down to verse 37. Then make its seven lamps and set them up on it so that they light the space in front of it. Its wick trimmers and trays are to be of pure gold. A talent of pure gold is to be used for the lampstand and all these accessories. See that you make them according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. Again, this light here, radiating the light of Jesus Christ. Again, foreshadowing the light that Jesus Christ will bring into this world. Boy, isn't this amazing? All of the Old Testament is just a foreshadow of Jesus Christ. So we continue here with chapter 26. Make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of finely twisted linen and blue, purple, and scarlet yarn with cherubim woven into them by a skilled worker. Again, you can read all of this. We see how God is telling Moses that skilled people will do this work to build this tabernacle to its finest. And the rest of it are detailed instructions given to Moses to explain to the Israelites how this tabernacle is to be built. I will let you read all of those details. I don't want to bog you down with these details. But let's come down to verse 15. Okay, again, I am on Exodus 26, verse 15. Make upright frames of acacia wood for the tabernacle. Each frame is to be 10 cubits long and a cubit and a half wide, with two projections set parallel to each other. Make all the frames of the tabernacle in this way. Again, insisting on the fact that it has to be sturdy or stronger to be carried. All right, you can read the rest of those instructions on your own about the details of the tabernacle. Let's come down to verse 30. Set up the tabernacle according to the plan shown you on the mountain. Again, God just kept reiterating to Moses that I want for you to do this exactly as I am telling you. And again, let me say this here. This is not to say that God is some proud person that wants his way or no way. No, that's not the idea here. The idea here is that you have to keep in mind that the Israelites came from a very pagan culture, Egypt. So they were exposed to all forms of pagan worship and pagan altars. So God is giving Moses here specific instructions and insisting that he should do it the way he is telling Moses, because he is really trying to help the Israelites to teach them how they should worship him, God. That way, preventing them wanting to build a temple based on what they had seen in Egypt. So again, we see a loving God directing these Israelites and essentially giving them step-by-step instructions how they should worship him, their creator. So that's all that is happening here, because had God not shown them specifically how to build this tabernacle and how they would worship him, that would be unfair for God to later on come and get angry at the Israelites for wanting to build their temple or their tabernacle in the way that they want. So this is only fair for God to tell them how to do it. That way he can instruct them exactly how they should do it and live correctly. So in my view, this is a good thing, okay? So let's pick it up, verse 31. Make a curtain of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and finely twisted linen with cherubim woven into it by a skilled worker. Again, detailed instructions given there. Come to verse 33. Hang the curtain from the claps and place the Ark of the Covenant Law behind the curtain. The curtain will separate the holy place from the most holy place. Again, we see this curtain or this veil that will separate the holy place from the most holy of holies place. Again, like I said earlier, the holy of holies is where the priest would get in there. Only the priest was allowed to go in there to make this atonement for the people. And in the book of Exodus, we will later learn that Aaron was that first high priest who would do that. Verse 34, put the atonement cover on the Ark of the Covenant Law in the most holy place. Place the table outside the curtain on the north side of the tabernacle and put the lampstand opposite it on the south side. Again, detailed instructions given. Wow. You can read all of that. So that brings us now to Exodus chapter 27, verses 1 all the way to verse 8 will tell us about the altar of burnt offering, how God gave Moses specific instructions. Let's pick it up here with verse 1. Build an altar on acacia wood. Again, acacia wood was involved in all of the buildings of this tabernacle, all of its various components. So before I continue, take note that a cubit, as described in the Bible, in today's language, a cubit is equivalent of about 18 inches in regards to length. Okay, so keep that in mind as we go over these dimensions in these verses. Then also keep in mind that a shekel, with regards to monetary value, in today's language, a shekel of gold is approximately $2,000. And a shekel of silver is approximately 140 or $150, right around there. And then in the past, I have also talked about a talent. In today's language, with regards to monetary value, a talent of gold is a lot of money. It's like $5,760,000. That is a lot of money. And with regards to a talent of silver, in today's language, that is about $385,000. So just keep these numbers in mind as we go over this text, knowing that you will come across this biblical use of measurements or worth. Okay? Okay, the altar are 3 cubits high. It is to be square, 5 cubits long, and 5 cubits wide. Wow. So this altar had specific instructions, which I will let you read that. And this altar, the whole concept of this altar is to be a place where once the Israelites get into the tabernacle, they will see the altar first right away. And this is where the burnt offering has to take place. And the notion is that the Israelites will look at this burnt offering altar as a reminder of the sacrifice that has to take place there for their sins, okay? Because this is where all of the burnt offering for sins will take place. Come to verse 7. Here, let's take a look at that. The poles are to be inserted into the rings so they will be on 2 sides of the altar when it is carried. Again, making sure it is strong enough to be carried. Make the altar hollow out of boards. It is to be made just as you were shown on the mountain. Again, God giving Moses specific instructions. We come to verses 9 all the way to verse 19, which will describe the courtyard, okay, the courtyard for the tabernacle. God told Moses to make this courtyard for the tabernacle. The south side shall be 100 cubits long and is to have curtains of finely twisted linen with 20 poles and 20 bronze bases and with silver hooks and bands on the post. Again, I don't want to bog you down with details. You can go study that on your own. But I read, or when I was doing my research about this courtyard, I came across one of the theologians who commented that this courtyard was as high as 8 feet tall. So just picture how tall this thing was. The average person is about, what, 5'10", 6 feet? Just imagine, 8 feet tall. That this was a pretty tall courtyard of this tabernacle. Let's come down to verse 18. The courtyard shall be 100 cubits long and 50 cubits wide, with curtains of finely twisted linen, 5 cubits high, and with bronze bases. Again, giving details of the courtyard. So you can read the details on your own. Let's come to the end of this chapter and look at the last few verses here, verses 20 to 21, which talks about the oil that is to be used in the lampstand. Verse 20, God told Moses, command the Israelites to bring you clear oil of pressed olives for the light so that the lamps may be kept burning. Again, you see how God has to walk through people. You know, I know there are many people who don't understand this concept, that even as a minister myself, I tell people this. I said we have to depend on people who will obey God to give to us so we can do what God has called us to do. So we see the same principle here, God telling Moses to tell the people to bring to him. So God has to walk through people for his work here on the earth to be advanced. So if God is placing it in your heart to support any ministry, our ministry, any other ministry or your church, please do that in honor of God, because God has to walk through people who are obedient to him in order to do his work on the earth. And we see God walking through the Israelites to build this tabernacle, much like he is walking through us today, through various churches, through various ministries, in order to accomplish his work on the earth. Okay? Again, it's unfortunate that some people have such suspicious heart towards ministries, but hey, we are here to do work that God has placed in our heart. So if God opens your heart to support us, you will be honoring God primarily, and then secondarily, you would be joining hands with us to advance God's work on the earth. Okay, so God told Moses to ask the Israelites to bring the clear oil of pressed olives for the light, so this light will keep burning all the time. Again, a light radiating the light of Jesus Christ. All right.
Friend, as some of you already know, this program is financially supported 100% by love gifts from listeners like yourself. So please, would you help us with a donation so that we can produce more programs and bless others? We need your financial support. To make a one-time donation, visit our website, drruthtanyi.org. That's drruthtanyi.org. Look for the donation button and donate right there. It is a very secure, simple, and easy process. Or, for more of an impact, would you prayerfully consider becoming a Christ-centered monthly partner with us? While on our website, you will find all of the information about becoming a Christ-centered partner. As a monthly partner, your regular prayers and financial support will enable us to produce more Bible teachings in order to reach more people and transform their lives with God's Word. For those of you who prefer regular mail, you can send your donation to us. Here's the address: Dr. Ruth Tiny Ministries, P.O. Box 1806, Loma Linda, California, 92354. You can also email us with your questions about becoming a partner. Here's the email address: info@drruthtiny.org. That's info at drruthtany.org. Or you can always call us at 909-383-7978. Dr. Ruth Tiny Ministries is a federal government-approved 501c corporation, which means that all of your donations are 100% tax-deductible, as allowed by the law. We thank you in advance for your kind donation and prayers. We pray for God's love and presence to anchor your soul today in Christ Jesus. I am Chris Oram. Stay blessed, and goodbye for now.